1975, after taking the Socialist Party to victory in elections, he became Prime Minister of Portugal and served two terms. More recently, indeed until last year, he spent a decade as boss of the UNHCR, the UN's refugee agency. In April, Mr. Guterres explained why, despite being deep into his 60s, he now wanted the top job at the UN.
I remember I started my citizenship activities, working as a volunteer in the slums of Lisbon. And that made me understand, as the terrible problems that the population there was facing, that there was no solution for them but a political solution. And that's why I became a politician. And then one day I discovered that politics also have its limitations. And at a certain moment, I thought that others should be better placed to follow in my country, the leadership of the party and of the country. And then I had this extraordinary opportunity to serve the most vulnerable of the vulnerable as High Commissioner for Refugees for more than 10 years. And again, you can't imagine the frustration to be trying to support people in desperate situations and knowing that we have no solution for their plight, because the solution, as it was the case in the slums of Lisbon, is political. And that is why I think that in no other place in the world we have more chances to address, as I said, the root causes of human suffering than in the center of the UN system. That is the reason why I am a candidate.
A candidate and a successful one at that. Karl Ross is a former British diplomat with the UK mission in the United Nations. He's also the founder of Independent Diplomat, a diplomatic advisory group. What does he make of the news of Antonio Guterres' imminent appointment?
It's a great pity it's not a woman, but on the other hand, he is a very, very competent person to lead the UN, and goodness knows we need a very competent person.
Right, well, let's get on to the in-tray in a moment, but tell me first of all what you think qualifies him, what impresses you about him?
Well, by all accounts, he's a real heavyweight on the policy, but he also knows the UN. He was head of the UN High Commission for Refugees for many years and has built up a very good reputation as a manager, as well as a political leader of a UN agency in an extraordinarily sensitive policy issue, whereas the other candidates who had UN experience did not seem to have performed quite so well. So he's built up a really solid institutional reputation. But a lot of people know him. He's done a lot of work, of course, in the EU, as well as other international forums. And by all accounts, he's very strong.
Tell me about how this process has taken place, because it's been unusual, if not unique, hasn't it, that there have been these hustings for the candidates?
That's right. I mean, the Secretary-General in the past has been selected in an almost sort of Vatican-like secret process amongst the permanent five members of the UN Security Council. That has changed at least a little bit this year because of very strong pressure in the General Assembly for the process to be more open and quote-unquote democratic. Of course, it's not really democratic because ordinary people don't get any kind of vote at all, but at least democratic amongst the member states. And one result of that is that this year there have been sort of public hearings for the candidates for the job, which do seem to have made a difference, because before the hearings, a number of people were talked about as potential candidates, and they fell away because of their performance in the hearings, and other stronger candidates emerged, among them Antonio Guterres. So there has been an improvement on the process this year, but the ultimate decision still has lain very much in the orbit of the Security Council and above all the Permanent Five, and I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for the long run.
Given the depth of the disagreements between the members of the Permanent Five, I mean, one thinks about the war of words there currently is between the US and Russia over what's happening in Syria. What do you think has brought them together over Antonio Guterres? Do you think it's just that he's the least worst candidate for them all, or do you think it's a positive decision?
I think for once it's actually a positive decision. I think the old saying about the Secretary General was that it was the kind of lowest denominator amongst the P5. In this case, doesn't apply. He seems to be very different from that kind of candidate. But of course, we don't know what went on amongst the P5. I mean, this is one of the problems in the process. It's been a totally secret discussion amongst them. And I'm frankly surprised that Russia has not blocked his candidacy, because of course he sits very squarely in the Western camp, former Portuguese Prime Minister, NATO member, EU member. I'm quite surprised that Russia has allowed him to go forward. And I was thinking that they would try to promote a candidate who might be more sympathetic to their interests, but I'm glad that that hasn't happened.
What would you hope that the new UN Secretary General does differently to Ban Ki-moon?
Well, I hope above all that he's very independent and robust in what he recommends to the UN Security Council to stop people getting killed. I would like to see the UN return to that basic purpose, stopping people getting killed, instead of, you know, the endless dance of the Secretary General around the prejudices and sensibilities of the permanent members above all. Ban has tried to do that, but he's been kicked around so much, you know, the UN has ended up in a morass, particularly on issues like Syria. So on that, for instance, I would like to see a new SG present very firm, robust recommendations for a ceasefire enforced by the threat of coercive action, either punitive sanctions or even military force, if that ceasefire is breached. That's what's needed in Syria, but the Secretary General has never been able to say that.
But isn't it also the case that the Secretary General can only move at the pace of the permanent five of the Security Council if there isn't consensus there, and if a veto is wielded by a member of the P5, then that could undermine his authority fatally, couldn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the P5 is there to be led, and the Security Council is there to be led. Often the P5 don't actually know what to do. And there's a lot of other conflicts, of course, in other places, whether it's South Sudan or DRC or Burundi, where the way forward is not clear. And, you know, many member states don't know the best thing to do. And I think the UN often does have a good idea of what needs to be done. But even on controversial issues like Syria, I think the SG has much more power than is often thought to say very clearly and independently what is the necessary course to stop people being killed. And I think that power has not been used in recent years, neither by Ban nor by Ban's predecessor, Kofi Annan, who took the view that they were better positioning themselves in the middle of the P5, a sort of act of political caution. And I don't think caution's what you need to stop conflict. You need bravery and clarity.
Who was the last Secretary General who came up to the mark?
Well, I wasn't around at the time, but Dag Hammarskjöld, by all accounts, was, you know, a Secretary General.
That's a long, long time ago.
Well, I'm afraid the UN's been, you know, has not had the leadership it's needed for a very long time, in my view. And I think it's an extraordinarily important institution that could be doing so much more on these very grave issues that the world confronts, whether it's Syria or climate change or refugees, where a strong leadership, and it is, I'm afraid, a leadership thing, it won't come from the member states, could make a real difference.
What do you think about the idea of, rather than having 2 5-year terms for the Secretary General, there should just be 1 7-year term, so that he, and it has been he up to now, isn't bound by the idea that they've got to sort of toe the line in order to get re-elected in 5 years?
Well, that idea is not going to come about. It hasn't prospered in the General Assembly, and there's too much scepticism about it.
Do you think it's a good idea, though?
I don't, actually, because I think you could get stuck with somebody pretty rotten for 7 years, which is a long time. You couldn't get rid of them. But also, you could have somebody really great for 7 years and then couldn't renew them for another term. So I don't think it's got very serious downsides as well as advantages. But I think if, you know, the problem still remains that the P5 have enormous power over the Secretary General and could threaten to block his reappointment. That is a real power. We'll have to see how the next Secretary General deals with that.
Karl Ross, formerly a British diplomat, one of whose postings was at the United Nations. He's now the founder and man behind Independent Diplomat, a diplomatic advisory group. Perhaps the priority for the incoming UN Secretary General will be Syria. So can Mr. Gutierrez do anything to improve the life of someone like 7-year-old Aboud, caught in an airstrike in Aleppo?
I fell on the floor and there was some blood on the floor. And then a guy came and put me in an ambulance and took me to the hospital.
I'm sorry.